From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 19th day of April, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will be here to discuss the agricultural cash grain situation. We'll take up what's been happening in the marketplace in a broader fundamental context with Ben Brown. He's at University of Missouri Extension, and we'll close out our time together by discussing the weather forecast, too, with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled at $5.92. It was up 6.5 cents for the afternoon. July at 580.5, 6.75 higher. And December corn, 8 cents higher. That's the new crop at $5.20 1/4 a bushel. The May beans at $14.49 3/4, up 16.5. July there at $14.36.5, up 14. And November soybeans, $12.84. New crop up a dime today. Bean meal futures at $407.50, up $5.30. The bean oil down 60 cents at $56.27. Soft red winter wheat for the July at $6.53 3/4, a penny and a quarter lower. And the hard red July finished at $6.18 3/4, up 2.5 cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby April at $120.35, 50 cents lower. The June at $118.60, down 57.5. May feeders at $142.47.5, or $1.25 lower. And the lean hogs in the May contract up $3.17.5 at $105.65. Crude oil about 30 cents a barrel higher at $63.43. Diesel fuel just about unchanged at $1.89.5, and gasoline also nearly unchanged at $2.04.8. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss what happened in Chicago today. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. Tell me what took place.
Well, a lot of them has been fairly active right now. The main focus is some of these early beans going into the ground, the frigid temperatures we're going to see here in the next 2 weeks. Man, there's guys that's had beans in the ground that you can row them now, and we'll see how this weather affects those. You know, guys are 100% done with beans in some areas. Others are 50 to 70%, and others have not started. So that's going to be the main conversation here over the next few days. A lot of guys want the beans to pop up and get going, but for the most part, a lot of guys are looking at seeing these beans staying undercover here for a few days for the most part. SAF News Planting Progress Report. You talk about ratio and where we're at on this. Ideas are corn as a nation 7 to 12% complete, beans 2 to 4% complete. I'd say it's probably a little rich on the corn and not even aggressive enough on those beans, at least for the first time. We'll see how it moves along here on what the numbers say. But, you know, it's early. We're off to good starts. Hopefully we're going to warm up here once we get through this week. But the main thing that the trade's been excited about as far as upward momentum is the dry weather. Brazil's dry on their corn crop. Analysts are starting to lower the Brazilian corn crop production estimates. Then here in the U.S., the Western Belt is particularly dry. I know here in the Central Belt we've had moisture in the forecast, but it continues to be on the light side or completely missed out. And when you look at the acreage estimate we've been handed, trend line yield and this huge, huge, huge demand base we have, this coming crop year has to be perfect. I mean, we have to have trend line yields or higher unless these acreage numbers are adjusted upwards. As far as the mix, man, I don't know if price has really determined a whole lot myself. I think guys pretty well decided what they were going to do last winter and stuck to that. Without no real adverse weather pattern in here, I believe that we'll probably stick to that plan for right now, at least the first time around. Here in the Central Belt, most guys continue to stick to rotation. Most in some areas here, a little heavier beans. That's just the way it came out. But we'll see how that unfolds, though. The crop's going to be put in the ground here fairly quickly, and we'll kind of monitor that here over the next few weeks. But the weather guys, man, they're going to sell some good subscriptions this year, because that's the most dynamic, exciting part of corn and beans during the spring and summertime window, is the weather maps and what actually materializes, and that makes and breaks the market, Todd.
This week, both corn planting weather in the United States and corn growing weather in South America has pushed or held the market higher. But once that changes, does it change the fundamentals very much?
With the commodity funds in charge, yeah, it's going to do what it wants to do. And it can very well do that for the most part. They're long over 400 some thousand contracts of corn. Those guys have billions and billions of dollars to work with. So unless something comes in to trip that red line below the green line, they can kind of hang in there over time. As far as price-wise, the May futures traded $6 plus here last week. The key is whether we can push above that. If we can do that, that opens the door for another 50 cents up to 6.5. New crop, we're above $5 on the board. We're seeing a situation where if we stay above 5, the analysts are looking at 5.55. So there's some more upside to go in through here, particularly if the trend kind of holds in place. The other key element that a lot of the analysts have passed on is keep an eye on this cash market. It's strong. You look at Decatur bids, ethanol bids, or even some local bids, they've had to push this bid or keep a firm to shake some grain loose. You know, a lot of folks sold a lot too early last fall, including myself. And now it's kind of, well, let's see what happens. I'm not too excited about letting any additional grain go until I get the crop in the ground, get it up, and see what the weather forecast brings.
Any news from one of the demand sources, whether that be livestock, ethanol, or the export market?
All of the above, strong. You know, we've seen situations where they tried to dial back ethanol, but I believe that consumption is going to remain strong in the U.S. The export market remains strong. Even some Chinese, not changed subjects, gone to buying some sorghum under the radar, just like they've been buying ethanol under the radar here. True feed usage, strong. Man, these hog prices, historically high, so we're going to see some heavier, even though we'll have less numbers, we're going to see some heavier weights. Feed consumption is going to remain strong. Then, too, on the shipments this morning, we saw the weekly shipments remained robust. We shipped out over 1.5 million metric tons of corn at 60 million bushels. Wheat shipments were strong. Beans struggled, but, you know, beans have been pretty well shipped out, and there's not a whole lot of beans left to ship out until we get later in the summer and see some other traditional countries come in and pick up what they're committed to. But all three of those are going to keep that supply-demand balance sheet strong on the demand side.
Hey, thank you.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You can listen to him on our website anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org, or on demand as a podcast in places like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast, too. Thanks for listening to the Closing Market Report. Ben Brown, agricultural economist at the University of Missouri Extension, now joins us. Hi, Ben. Thanks for being with us. I know you and the folks there at FAPRI have really been watching the supply and demand tables closely. We'll get to those in just a second. But I'm wondering, first of all, whether you think farmers will react to the changing soy-corn ratio and the rebalance it's trying to get in acreage when we compare prospective plantings to June plantings, and if they really can.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. Really appreciate the opportunity to be on. You ask a really good question, something that, you know, we've been watching. I always like to look at the March Prospective Plantings Report as the first process of the bid-ask process between producers and the market. Now, granted, we only get to see the beginning of the process in March, and then the June acreage report that comes out. And those are just two points along the spectrum. And the producers and market, you know, they'll be interacting throughout this period. And so, you know, in March, you know, the producers put out what they intend to plant, and the market reacted and said that's not enough. And certainly, we saw prices go higher. The question now becomes: is that enough to get more acres into the into the mix, especially corn and soybeans were quite a bit below what we expected them to see as market analysts. And So I look at this and I think it certainly is possible. Now, I thought Scott Irwin did a really nice article last week and certainly matched what a lot of economists, would look and say, okay, there's an equal chance of adding acreage and subtracting acreage. When I look at these contribution margins, contribution margins for corn and soybeans mixed are about $80 higher than land costs. That's the best we've had since about 20. In the last 6 years, that's the first time it's been above land cost in a lot of cases. So that brings acres back into production too, and certainly we've seen some optimism. Now, granted, there's the competing factors too. It's awfully dry in the western part of the Corn Belt. A lot of talk about drought conditions continuing to emerge even in places like Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, and that's got people concern, plus the high fertilizer prices. So I think, to answer your question, we are expecting here at FAPRI, an increase of acres, somewhere around, half a million acres a piece of corn and soybeans, but it could be tilted, a little bit heavier to soybeans, especially after, the extra wheat acres, winter wheat acres that we saw in that prospective plantings report as well. And so, that gets us, we've got 91.6 million acres for corn and just over 88 million acres for soybeans. So that's what we're looking at for acres.
Unlikely that May supply and demand tables from USDA, which is their first look at new crop, will reflect that kind of acreage, because they won't do it unless they have a real reason to, and we're just not moving that quickly yet in planting. So the question then is, have you updated your supply and demand tables, and what does it do to ending stocks for corn for the 21-22 marketing year?
Yeah, so if we throw those into a balance sheet, let's start with the supply part of this. This increases supply about 153 million bushels above what we had in the 2020 marketing year. Then you look at the demand side of the equation, and we've got a reduction in the domestic corn use picture, both ethanol related, given where we've seen ethanol margins here recently. Right now, the returns above variable cost for ethanol plants are somewhere in that 24 cent range per gallon. So, I mean, that's better than what we've seen. And certainly they've been hovering between 15 and 30 cents, which is positive. In fact, ethanol price broke the $2 mark for the first time since late in 2014. So some positives there. It's the export picture in corn that we're pulling back about 170 million bushels for next year on recovery in the Black Sea region, plus then increases in domestic Chinese price, kind of tailoring back some of their corn demand. Plus, we don't know if we're going to see them take everything this year either. And we can talk about that here in just a second. But for ending stocks, even with a 152 million bushel increase in total supply for next year, ending stocks only go up about 60 million bushels on the corn side. Now, on the soybean side, the interesting thing here is total supply next year actually continues to really tighten. In fact, the year-over-year change is down 400 million bushels in that beginning stocks number, and so that reduces our total supply for next year, even with the added acres. So then on the demand side, with these higher prices, starting to see some rationing of exports, international exports, but then even, some tightening and pressure on that domestic crush margin. So that gets us an ending stocks number for next year that's only 36 million bushels higher than what we are currently. So the way I look at this is soybeans remain tight into the 2021-2022 picture, and corn continues to remain snug is the way I look at it.
And corn exports to China, you mentioned you wanted to come back to that very shortly, please.
Yep, we can do that real quick. This week, the exports shipments that we saw were 60 million bushels on the week. We need to average 55 million bushels a week to reach USDA's current target, which they increased 75 million bushels in their April WASD. When we look at these corn shipments, Chinese corn shipments are that we have left that we know of, not in counting the ones that might be in the unknown category, are 521 million bushels. So we need to average just over 26.5 million bushels per week, and we average, they took 18 million bushels this week. So we need to increase that to get China to get their current commitments as we go through. So.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome, Ben. Ben Brown is with University of Missouri Extension and the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute there, otherwise known as FAPRI. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hey, Mark, thank you for being with us on what I think is going to be the beginning of a pretty darn cold week across the Midwest. Farmers, to the best of my knowledge, have halted most of their planting, certainly for corn, maybe not as much for soybeans. They'll want to get started at some point, but let's begin with that kind of cold weather that we've had, and we're not done with it just yet.
Well, Todd, yeah, certainly that's the highlight of this week is with the unseasonably cold temperatures, which are currently working their way into the Midwest, will stay in place virtually all of this week and over the upcoming weekend. Before then, temperatures begin to return to more seasonal levels next week. So there is some positive news here on the horizon, but we got to go through this week. And obviously with the cooler temperatures, that's going to then, you know, cool down soil temperatures. And ultimately, with crops that have been planted, certainly the pace of germination and emergence will be on the slow side this week. But then next week, that should help, you know, warmer temperatures should help help to improve things.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this because it's all about soil temperatures for producers at the moment, and that's a factor of what the daytime highs are and what the nighttime lows, and I guess maybe even some snow cover in some places might be. Soil temperatures have probably dropped somewhere between 5 and 10 degrees over the last week. They were above 50, they're in that 40s or were. What do daytime and nighttime temperatures across the Midwest look like this week, and how soon will we begin to see things come up?
Yeah, for much of this week, in general, you're talking about daytime highs in the 40s and 50s, minimum temperatures in the 30s, and even some 20s in sections of the central and northern Midwest. So enough to certainly, you know, cool down soil temperatures, and you know, much different than what was the case here even over this past weekend.
I'm looking forward. You have mentioned next week a couple of times, and I can see that there might be some pretty big swings in daytime highs by the time we get to maybe Monday of next week. What does that look like?
Yeah, we are expecting a more significant warm-up coming up with then kind of daytime highs in the 60s and 70s across the Midwest. That only looks to last for about the first half of next week before then temperatures cool down again. So a bit of a roller coaster ride in temperatures coming up. No sustained warmth, but at least, you know, no sign at least of any follow-up significant cold as after the next 5-6 days.
Farmers will be trying to time putting corn in the ground so it doesn't have a chill effect with rain, if there is any in the forecast that would maybe be heavy enough to crust over soils once the warmer temperatures come in. Do we have rainfall in the forecast?
Well, in the short term, the next couple of days, actually a mixture of rain and snow across the Midwest as some precip both rain and snow develops across the region, combined with this cold air moving in. But from a macro standpoint, actually this week and even next week, it still is a below normal precip pattern. So no indication of any wet pattern setting up. And really the most active conditions are down across really the Gulf Coast areas, including portions of the Southern Delta and Southeast.
One more thing here in the United States before we move to South America. You mentioned colder temperatures next week after we get the warm up. Are they very cold or just back to just a little bit below normal or around normal for this time of year?
Yeah, just back to normal or maybe a touch below normal, but certainly not a repeat of the anomalies or the unseasonably cool temperatures experienced this week.
You know, what we need to discuss from South America today?
Well, the main item of note is in the southern Safrinha Corn Belt in Brazil, and particularly the state of Paraná. That's been one of the driest portions of the Safrinha Corn Belt over the past, actually, couple of months, and looks to stay that way from now into the early portion of May. So no sign of any relief there. You know, better conditions up across the northern Safrinha Corn Belt in the state of Mato Grosso. So it's not like the dryness is encompassing all of the Safrinha corn acreage, but you know, the area of concern is that southern part of the belt.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Brian Stark now joins us from the Andersons to discuss the agricultural cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Brian. Thanks so much. I was out over the weekend. I was surprised, well, maybe not really surprised, that there wasn't too much activity happening in the field. I don't know whether that will have changed today or not, and whether that means you're getting more phone calls, especially on a day like today, or not.
Certainly, farmers are slowing down in general, planting progress with the weather we have forecasted this week, with a couple nights here approaching below freezing. I know there was active planting going on at the end of last week, but maybe a short-term pause till we see what the weather brings, and I expect planting progress will resume maybe towards the end of the week once we start to warm back up. But certainly the markets today are reacting to those cold temperatures and also the lack of good moisture for Brazil's second crop, the Safrinha corn crop. I think that's the biggest driver that's driving corn today. On the soybean side, strengthening domestic processor basis, especially in the east, has lended some support to the board. And I think at some point you'll see more follow through from the board as we are dealing with very tight stocks and strong interior demand.
So given the soybean side of the equation, the fact that we are looking at weather here, but probably just a short-term issue that has driven the market a little sharply higher, more sharply higher in the corn than you might have expected, but the big driver being South America and weather there, do you expect strength through the week for corn?
I don't. I think right now it's kind of a weather premium play that the market's reacting to some colder temperatures. If it verifies as we start to warm, as we approach the May 1st date, I think the market will kind of relax some of that premium unless the pattern were to maintain its hold. I think this is a good selling opportunity or catching up for producers that may not have got advanced on their new crop 21 sales. Certainly now that we're well above $5 and we're setting new contract highs in the December contract, I think that's kind of where producers' mind is focused here for the time being.
How far along do you think they ought to be?
I would say, you know, at these type of prices, some sort of minimum price strategy has kind of been the approach we've been taking. And I think, you know, up to a third of expected production where you can lock in at least a $5 December floor, I think is the appropriate strategy, allow some upside. Certainly, there's a lot of private analysts looking at weather out in the summer with some showing hot and dry conditions in the center part of the Corn Belt. But I think any risk management solution, we don't want to expect a drought, but be able to react accordingly. And I think at this point, when you're setting new highs on a short-term cold weather planning issue, it probably warrants rewarding the market, so to speak.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Brian Stark. He is with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.